Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of his imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Today, Jay, we begin a brand new series, a study on the kingdom. You know, there's so much in the Bible about the kingdom. However, in the church today, there is so much confusion about the kingdom. In this first study, I want to show you the pattern for the kingdom and the place where the kingdom will be ruled from by Jesus Christ. I'll look first at our roadmap through eschatology, and then we'll go to Genesis chapter 1.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
This morning, I want to look at with you what may be the most provocative thought in Christianity today as it relates to where we, many Christians, believe that we are today. And that would be that indeed Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords now, and that he is on his throne, and that we are in, to some extent, the kingdom. There's a lot of Christendom that would be considered dominion theologians, believing that the kingdom is now in operation. Even if you are someone who doesn't quite believe that, but you still many times will use the terminology about Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, talking about the kingdom being in place. And these things, I believe, are very concerning to me as it relates to what the Word of God has to say, and I believe that we must have a proper understanding of the kingdom. Let me set in place, which would be the roadmap through eschatology, for the purpose of helping you get a handle or get an understanding or set a grid within your mind as how end time events are going to unfold. The rapture of the church found in chapter 4, verse 1 of the book of Revelation, also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, and then in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 53. Jesus Christ himself mentioned or referred to the rapture of the church in the upper room that night of the Last Supper when he made the following statement: "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's not talking about the second coming of Christ. "I will gather you up to be with me." And so when we're talking about this information, we're talking about Jesus calling the people up. He will gather us up to meet him, and we will go with him into the air. So that's the rapture of the church. A seven-year period of time, we have 16 chapters of detailed information found in the book of Revelation, which would be chapter 4 through chapter 19, detailed information about the tribulation. And then we have the return of Jesus Christ back to the earth, and this is the second coming, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and following, when he comes back to the earth, followed by the thousand-year millennial kingdom, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 6, the thousand years when Satan is bound in a bottomless pit, the thousand years when Jesus Christ will rule and reign, and at the conclusion of that thousand years, the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, and then into eternity future, new heavens, new earth, and a new Jerusalem. But what I would like to help you understand is there's a kingdom period that is not yet set up, but will be set up. God has a plan, has a pattern, has a place for all of this to take place. And indeed, it will happen, but it is not now in operation. And this is very key. The kingdom, no place in the Bible that I can see, has been promised to Christians. We have a relationship with the kingdom because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But the kingdom was actually promised and then presented to the Jewish people. And just because that was postponed does not mean that it's going to be over forever. Let me begin with a look at the God's kingdom plan and how he's going to bring it into existence. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, if you will. Genesis chapter 1, And I want to show you the pattern for the kingdom, because that's exactly how the Lord started out. He put in place the leaders of the kingdom, and this will help us to start to get a handle on exactly how the Lord has planned for this kingdom period of time. Of course, in Genesis chapter 1, we see creation, the 6 days of creation, and everything that Jesus Christ, the Creator, Colossians 1:16, did to bring all that has ever been and ever will be into existence. In 6 24-hour days, he says in the book of Exodus, over in chapter 20 and verse 11, I created the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is. Nothing before, nothing after has been created during that 6 24-hour days. In the afternoon of the sixth day, in the morning of the sixth day, over in chapter 1, and starting in verse 24, he brings into existence all creeping things, all cattle, everything on the earth that would be the time for the dinosaurs to be created. They are not prehistoric animals. They were created on the sixth day of creation. And then I'm just suggesting in the afternoon, he's going to bring in man, creating him in his own image. Look with me at verse 26, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now notice, and let them, plural, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. What is the them talking about? Verse 27 will define it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Adam and Eve, which has already been defined. God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Now notice, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so the pattern for the kingdom was to have Adam and Eve have dominion over all of creation. Dominion is rule over all of creation. This is the establishment of the pattern of the kingdom that would be in the future. Them having a relationship with ruling all that would be on the face of the earth. God brings them for the purpose of being able to do that. Look at the place that this would all happen, and where would the headquarters be for this kingdom? We go to chapter 2 now in verse 8 to see the place of this kingdom that the Lord would establish. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. I have to have a little bit of a concern about the way this verse reads, because I don't quite understand what it's saying. It makes this statement, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Eastward of what? You see, if you're going to give direction, the word of life in would be south of Scroon Lake downtown. And so you're having a reference upon which you set direction. And so I went to the concordance, I looked up the word that was there, the Hebrew word, gadim, which is talking about eastward. But it also, and most of the time, is translated before times or aforetime. And so I took an alternate translation for the same word, used throughout the entire Bible, and it would read like this then. And the Lord God planted a garden before time in Eden. In the second chapter of the book of Genesis, he's getting ready to talk to us about the Garden of Eden and placing Adam and Eve there. And remember, in the first chapter, 26, 27, and 28, he gives them dominion over everything. So that's the pattern. The husband and wife, Adam and Eve, will have dominion over everything. And in fact, it will be in the Garden of Eden where they will have the operation for this kingdom that they're going to have. Chapter 3 is going to tell us, of course, that because of their sin, they lose this dominion. And God then puts in place another plan, but indeed they had the dominion. They had the dominion for all of of creation. When did the Garden of Eden come into existence? Go back to chapter 1 again just for a moment in verse 9. And I believe it was on the third day of creation that the Garden of Eden comes into existence. Chapter 1, verse 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Now verse 11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and all the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. This, the third day of creation. I believe God brought the Garden of Eden into existence at this third day of creation and brings everything in place for Adam and Eve to be placed in there to rule over the kingdom that he is going to give them in the sixth day of creation. I want you to notice several things about the Garden of Eden when it was put in place. First of all, it had trees that were bearing fruit in it at the time he created them. Now, that's a very important fact. We got a lot of people telling us how old the earth is, and they base that upon the fact that indeed you have to have a period of time for all of these things to evolve. The Lord God told Jesus to bring everything into existence because God the Father was the designer, Jesus Christ was the carpenter, and he's the one who brought everything into existence by speaking it so. But he did not take a little orange seed, dig a hole in the earth that he had created, stick it in the hole, put a little fertilizer on it, pour a little water on it, play some sweet music in the background, and wait for it to grow up and have an orange. No, when he created the Garden of Eden, when he created this beautiful, the trees, the shrubs, and the grass, he put a fruit tree there already bearing fruit. It already had age on it. You don't think he created Adam as a little baby, do you? "Oh, Adam, you're so cute. One of these days you'll grow up and I'll pull a rib out of you and make woman." Oh, no, he created Adam with age. Everything. Those stars out there that supposedly have been sending their light for thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of light years. Those were created with age as well. Everything. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, a bunch of people in the last days who will deny the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says they will be willfully ignorant. I like my translation much better. They will be dumb on purpose. Not willfully ignorant. They're going to be dumb, man. The Bible says it. There's only one creature that was there at the time of creation, the one who did it. And then he told Moses to write it down. Scientists tried to explain everything. They have no capability because they're not even involved in true science. True science has to have someone who observes what happens and then be able to replicate it. No scientist was there to observe creation, and he certainly can't replicate it. God's word tells us what happens, and he brings into existence on the third day of creation, he brings in the Garden of Eden.
God's creation of the Garden of Eden on the third day of creation was for the purpose of establishing the place where the first, and in fact the last, kingdom will be set up for the Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign from for 1,000 years and then into eternity future. Next week, we'll look at the similarities between the first kingdom and the next kingdom that will be ruled by Jesus Christ. This study on the kingdom is very important for us today, but it is of great significance for each of us for the future as well. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up until...